Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller.
I'm Richard Winham. The Chattanooga Times Free Press has completed a nine-month investigation into why violent crimes can be difficult to prosecute.
These are situations where someone shoots someone else. Witnesses are there, they see it happening, but they're reluctant to speak with the police, so the victims or the families of the victims don't see much justice.
The Times Free Press looked into about 300 shootings and found that less than half resulted in an arrest.
Times Free Press reporter Mary Helen Miller went to Alton Park, Brainerd, Eastlake, and Highland Park and spoke with people who live there. These are people whose relatives have been injured or killed in shootings. They talk about what it feels like to know who did it, but to also know police can't help much because witnesses don't want to come forward.
This piece was created as part of a series called Speak No Evil. The newspaper will be publishing it on Sunday.
It was a sunny day, just like today. It was a sunny day.
When it happened to me, it was just 3 o'clock on a Friday. I'm sitting in the driveway in the car. And
I can remember that phone call that night. It was about a little bit to 1.
And my husband met me at the gate and told me that he was dead at a club over here on Main Street.
And a young lady called me and said, "Miss Teresa, your daughter been shot."
They shot him 8 times. His friends did.
By the time everyone gathered up at the hospital, he was already pronounced dead.
They got the boy who said he done it. He turned himself in. But the word on the street say he's not the one. He's the one that has a gun permit. And so that was a gang thing. So he was the one that took the fall and went down and turned himself in.
I know absolutely nothing about any updates on the case, any suspects, any witnesses, or any leads.
From my understanding, it was somebody there that witnessed it. He was scared of what might happen to him if he testified.
I'm pretty sure there were people around. One of his close friends was the one that actually came to the house and told me that it happened immediately after it happened. So I'm pretty sure that he was probably there.
When it came down to it, all of them that she thought was a friend and was there when the incident happened didn't step up to the plate.
And people scared to talk and say stuff because they scared and fear for their life.
There is no one talking, no one giving any information.
Every piece of evidence pointed to this young man. Every piece of evidence pointed to his but he didn't do not one lick a day in jail.
I'd be angry because they still walking around breathing air and my son can't breathe nothing.
I see him in the store. I see him, you know, passing by in the car. I see him, you know, just in days of life.
I try not to go out much because I get attitudes when I see them.
Like, this is a moment where I could go off the deep end. I could take drugs. I could drink. I could just give up on life.
I can take his life. What's the point? It's not going to bring my brother back.
It's really sad that this boy had to go like that. Not even just him. All them kids went before him. The kids that done went after him.
Don't try to come at it as black people say, well, it's just normal. It's not normal to see a person that you care about dying.
Those were the voices of Edward Lewis, Erica Holmes, Teresa Gilbert, Kimberly Walker, and Shonda Mason. All of them live in Chattanooga. All of them have family members who were shot and killed, except Teresa Gilbert, whose daughter was shot but survived. Mary Helen Miller from the Times Free Press conducted those interviews and produced that piece.
The newspaper is publishing a special section about this very soon. Reporters Joe McLean and Todd South spent 9 months working on this investigation. They pored over court records and interviewed more than 100 people.
Coming up, we'll speak with Todd South about the investigation. Stay tuned.
Funding comes from Winsock Media publisher Tennessee River, Sparkling Gem of the South by Ron Lowry, a new coffee table book with aerial views of the river, available at ronlowry.com.
Funding comes from the Chattanooga Theater Center, presenting A Christmas Story, the musical, the holiday show about Ralphie and the Daisy BB gun live on stage. Information at 267-8534, online at theatercenter.com.
You're listening to Around and About Chattanooga. In this segment, I'm going to speak with Times Free Press reporter Todd South. He and Joan McLean have a special section called Speak No Evil that's coming up in the Sunday paper. In neighborhoods like Alton Park and Highland Park, the residents are sometimes very reluctant to speak with police after a shooting happens. Todd South, welcome to Around and About Chattanooga.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to be a victim of violent crime. Maybe I was shot, or maybe someone I loved was shot. And I know who did it. There's no question about who did it. There are witnesses who saw the shooting happen, but the witnesses refused to cooperate with the police. Why are these people so reluctant to help the cops out, to help the victims out?
Oftentimes, we found a lot of the shootings you see happen are there's only a few people present. Sometimes the victim themselves might be the only witness. Oftentimes there are family connections, neighborhood connections. Some of the people you see as a shooter, so to speak, or an alleged shooter could have been someone you've known since grade school and maybe lives a few houses down from you. This is not a usually random stranger-on-stranger violence. So if you know someone by name and you can point them out, well, they also know where you live too.
Right.
And whether there's a legitimate threat, which we have not found a lot of actual legitimate recorded threats, it's simply a perception and fear. Fear isn't always rational, but fear is there.
So that's interesting. So it's not – because that is what I would think is, well, maybe the shooter was in a gang and I'm afraid if I testify, then the gang will come and get me or something like that.
There's a lot of that definitely in some of the – in many of the shootings that we've researched. We've pulled case files on nearly 300 shootings in the last 3 years. We could not validate – every single one as of having a gang involvement, but some do, and police have confirmed some of that. So there is a retaliation concern. There's also, you know, ways that defendants in jail get messages out to people through visitors, through mail, through, you know, whatever. Actual person-on-person intimidation could be something as subtle as, you know, the defendant is out on bond awaiting trial, and the witness may see that person at the gas station. And just get a mean look. You know, it might be that's not necessarily something you're going to call the police about. And if you do, that may not be something that someone gets hauled into court for. But it's enough, I think, that people feel that it raises the stakes for them to come testify, even if, again, it is only a perception.
What are some of the main areas of parts of town that you're looking into, some of the neighborhoods you've been looking into?
Well, again and again, it's some of the same areas, unfortunately, that have had high crime rates. It kind of goes hand in hand. The East Chattanooga as a whole, Avondale, Eastdale, different parts in those areas of town, mostly some of the lower income areas that do see high rates of our overall crime, of course, also see high rates of violent crime.
Were you talking to the victims in these situations? Were you talking to some of the reluctant witnesses, both of those kinds of people?
A little bit of both. My colleague, Joan Garrett McLean, has done extensive following of some of particular cases in these neighborhoods. She followed one case pretty much from its inception almost, since the death of a young man named Eric Flewellen, through what's happening now in the court with that case, and spent hours and hours with his mother and his relatives. Now, his mother has had a criminal history of her own, and so she was a little bit on the other side of the fence about how you cooperate with the system. And now she's come over wanting some justice of her own and hoping to get that justice. I've followed a case that involved a particular person who was charged in three fairly high-profile local shootings over the course of about a year and a half. And his last case finally was resolved this fall, and he didn't receive very much time. But again, there wasn't hardly any evidence, and there were very few witnesses in most of his cases.
When you're going into a neighborhood and trying to get people to talk with you on such a sensitive subject, how do you do it?
I have to say my colleague Joan Garrett McLean has had a little more success with that than I have. I think it's equal parts concern, sincerity, and charm. When you approach someone and you give them the opportunity to tell their story, many times people want to share that. They may not often want to be quoted and have their name in print or be on a television camera, but this is something that really gets to the heart of living in certain parts of Chattanooga, and people want to see something happen, and they're willing to talk. Now, again, willing to talk to a reporter is completely different than possibly being willing to talk to a police officer or be willing to testify in open court with a defendant staring right at you. Those are different thresholds, of course.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Todd South, a staff writer with the Times Free Press. They're getting ready to publish a big article you've been working on for a while about some of the crimes that don't get prosecuted. 300 shootings, you're saying.
Yes, our research, again, verified through the Chattanooga Police Department, focusing solely on Chattanooga. We're not speaking about anything outside of the city limits of Chattanooga, and also speaking with the prosecutors at the Hamilton County District Attorney's Office and verifying records through them. Our research shows roughly 300 shootings with injury or death in the past 3 years since 2011. Less than half of those resulted in arrest, and of those that did not result in arrest, more than half had witness problems, and that's verified through the police department. Again, we've tracked some of that through the court system. Some has been resolved. Much has not been resolved. Some of these cases just take time, and there's many reasons for that.
And so you're saying more than half had witness problems. These people are reluctant. How do the police deal with that? What, if anything, can the police do when they've probably got a pretty good idea of who did it, but they just can't get anyone to come forward and confirm that?
Both for the police that I've interviewed and Joan Garrett McLean has interviewed, along with the prosecutors we've interviewed who handle these cases when there is an arrest, that's the biggest point of frustration for all the officials. I mean, it seems to me, and I believe it also seems to my colleague Joan, that they care. They care deeply about these cases and work hard on them, despite the fact they have many of them to work. And when they know they have good information, some people saying things but not willing to give a statement or not willing to come to court, that's some of the most frustrating work I think police and prosecutors probably have to deal with.
Long term, what, if anything, do you think could be the solution to this?
Hopefully, people in communities that do have a lot of violence can see the results of cooperating with law enforcement and with the courts. That's going to be a difficult path for everyone because it will take real results, verified results, and consistent results. So the cooperation will have to lead to prosecutions and convictions and lengthy prison sentences for violent offenders. If that continues and is sustained, I believe community members can see possibly a turnaround in what they're seeing in their neighborhoods and the violence they're dealing with.
And the article is coming out Sunday, is that correct?
Yes. It's a special section, 8-page special section that we're having printed to go along with the Sunday paper. It will be separate from the actual paper but packaged with it for those who purchase the paper. It's titled Speak No Evil. It's a result of a 9-month investigation involving hundreds of court documents, more than 150 interviews, research and reporting by Times Free Press staff. And I believe that it will show a lot of what we're dealing here locally with problems with witnesses cooperating in criminal cases.
I imagine for some people in some neighborhoods, they're going to read this, they're going to hear about this, and they're just going to say, well, yeah, we knew this. This is life. But for a lot of people, this is going to be news. Do you think it's going to shock them? Do you think this is going to be a big revelation to a lot of people finding out what you've revealed in this article?
I think for people, as you say, who may live in dangerous parts of town, this isn't new news to them. I do think that some of the research we've done validates that with hard numbers. For those people who live in safer areas of town or in our area, our region, I believe that it will come to as a shock to them. I think that most people who live in areas that don't see a lot of violent crime assume that if someone shoots someone else and is arrested and there's enough evidence against them, that they will do serious prison time. And that just isn't the case in most of these situations.
Why isn't that the case? Is it just a matter of there's not enough evidence so they're able to plead down to a lesser charge? What's going on with that?
That's typically what happens. A combination of we focus on witnesses, but it is a combination of witnesses and evidence. Without one, it's hard to get the other sometimes.
Yeah.
And in a lot of the cases that involved a shooting where someone was not killed, you do have injury, you do have something violent happening there. But oftentimes, as I said earlier in our conversation, these are happening late at night. There are a few witnesses. Sometimes witnesses themselves are involved. Sometimes witnesses are the victims. And so it's difficult for a prosecutor to take that to a jury and convict with little amounts of physical evidence and only one or two people naming the defendant as the actual shooter. So these cases just don't offer a lot for someone in the legal system to work with on the prosecution side at least.
I know Andy Burke is definitely focusing on crime, our new mayor, Andy Burke. Do you think Burke is going to be able to do anything about this, basically?
We've researched the initiatives that he's wanting to put in place here. It's called the High Point Initiative out of High Point, North Carolina. It's been adopted elsewhere and seen success, at least in the numbers. My colleague, Joan Garrett McLean, has traveled actually to North Carolina and witnessed one of their meetings and talked with their chief who instituted this program. It seems to have success on paper. There's been a lot of good research about it. I believe that some of that applied here could be effective, but it depends on how well it's applied and also how sustained the effort is. That's really up to the city officials and then, of course, the community members to reach out and kind of cooperate with what they're trying to do.
You were talking about going in and actually looking at these court records for these 300 shootings, really digging into the hard numbers and backing up what people already knew with actual facts. What did you find that surprised you when you actually looked at the numbers, when you were able to quantify these things?
What first surprised me was the low number of arrests in shooting cases. Again, there was roughly 300 and a little more than half don't have an arrest. And secondly, a lot of the bonds that are set are fairly low. It would take another hour or two to explain how bonds are set,
yeah.
And I'm not a lawyer, so I won't try to hack like one. But sometimes the bonds set on people with – appears to be a pretty violent offense look kind of low, and it's fairly easy to get free on bond with that. And that, going back to the start of our conversation, was one of the difficulties I think people in communities see is knowing that someone, you know, had been arrested in a shooting, believing that they're likely a part of it, and seeing them free in the neighborhood, it doesn't do a lot to instill confidence to go forward and talk.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else you want to tell the listeners?
No, I just hope everyone can pick up a copy on Sunday. And we're going to be having a forum at the Bethlehem Center at 6:30 on the Thursday, December 19th, following the publication of the special section. And we're inviting the public to come out and speak with the people we've interviewed and have their voices heard as well.
Thank you so much. That's it for Rounded About Chattanooga. Thank you all for listening. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. If you have questions, comments, or story ideas, you can contact me, mike-miller@utc.edu.
Around and About Chattanooga is a production of WUTC with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC. Find us online at wutc.org.